Tonight, breaking news. President Biden addressing the nation tonight after another mass shooting, this time at a hospital. Authorities say the gunman bought his AR-15 style rifle just hours before his rampage. The suspect killing four people at that Tulsa hospital. Authorities tonight revealing the chilling details. The suspect allegedly targeting a doctor and killing others too. What authorities say he blamed on the doctor and the letter found on the suspect. John Quinones in Tulsa for us. It comes after the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and tonight for the first time, we hear from the teacher's lawyer, who police initially said left that school door open. Tonight, what they say is the real story of what happened at that door, and that teacher's call to 911. As we come on tonight, the severe thunderstorm watch across much of the east, heavy rain, damaging winds, possible flash flooding from Washington, D.C. to Philadelphia and parts of the Northeast. We'll time it out for you. And in Florida tonight, the tropical storm watch just issued. What they're now expecting there, and Rob Marciano standing by. The major news in the war in Ukraine tonight, members of the U.S. military tonight are now training Ukrainians at an undisclosed location how to use those rocket systems that have now been sent. And Robin Roberts' interview with the First Lady of Ukraine when those air raid sirens suddenly go off. In panel reporting from Kyiv. The major headline on a COVID vaccine for children under five, the new timeline just in. It could be just a couple of weeks away now. And the stunning images coming in tonight celebrating Queen Elizabeth's 70 years on the throne. The Queen and her great-grandson Louis at his scene-stealing moment. Prince Harry and Meghan there celebrating the Queen too. And Amy Robach is right there for us. And late today, what the Queen did with just the touch of her hand, setting off a spectacular light show. And you'll see it right here.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. And we begin tonight with the chilling new horror playing out inside that hospital. And President Biden is now set to address the nation tonight at 7:30 Eastern. We will carry his remarks live right here. The president expected to ask Congress to pass common sense laws to combat this epidemic of gun violence. The Buffalo supermarket, the Uvalde Elementary School, and now a Tulsa hospital. Tonight, authorities say the gunman had purchased his AR-15 style rifle just hours before the rampage, killing four as he went through that hospital. Authorities say looking for a doctor who was among the killed. Take a look at this map tonight. In just the 8 days after the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, there have been more than 20 mass shootings, leaving four or more dead or injured, some 105 victims shot in those mass shootings in just 8 days. And in Tulsa overnight, first responders arriving within minutes of the first 911 call, entering the building floor to floor, room to room. 6 minutes later, they heard a shot. The gunman, Michael Lewis, had taken his own life. Police say the suspect was carrying a letter that made it clear he went there to kill a doctor he blamed for his pain and anyone else who got in his way. Dr. Preston Phillips was killed. He had performed back surgery on Michael Lewis. Others were killed in his rampage as well, including Dr. Stephanie Hewson, as well as office supervisor Amanda Glenn, and a patient as well, William Love. Tonight, the weapon bought just hours before that attack and the letter the gunman was carrying. ABC's John Quinones leading us off from Tulsa tonight.
Tonight, Tulsa police say the man who stormed this hospital complex and killed four people had a target, Dr. Preston Phillips, the surgeon who treated him.
He came in with the intent to kill Dr. Phillips and anyone who got in his way.
Authorities say Dr. Preston Phillips, an orthopedic surgeon at Tulsa's St. Francis Hospital, performed back surgery on Michael Lewis on May 19th. On May 24th, Lewis was released.
After release, Lewis called several times over several days, complaining of pain and wanted additional treatment.
Lewis's last call to the clinic coming just hours before he would allegedly open fire. At 2 p.m. the day of the shooting, the ATF says Lewis bought an AR-style semi-automatic rifle from a local gun store. Just days before, he also bought a .40-caliber semi-automatic handgun, both weapons purchased legally. At 4:52 p.m., hours after buying that gun, the first call to 911 from a patient seeing a doctor over video chat.
She was on a video chat with a doctor on the second floor. He told her to call the police. There had been a shooting.
One of the victims held the door for someone to allow them to escape out of the back door, and was shot and killed.
They're running in.
Police from multiple agencies swarming and immediately entering the building. 6 minutes later, at 4:58 p.m., they hear a single gunshot.
We believe that was the final gunshot, with the suspect taking his own life.
Police finding that letter on Lewis, explaining his intent to kill Dr. Phillips.
He blamed Dr. Phillips for the ongoing pain following the surgery.
They find the body of Dr. Phillips in an exam room. Nearby, Dr. Stephanie Hooson and Supervisor Amanda Glenn. Also killed patient William Love.
To think that our caregivers were the victims is just incomprehensible to me. They died while serving others. They died in the line of duty. To the family of Mr. Love, our hearts break for you. I really just wanted this to all be a bad dream, but this is the reality of our world right now. And today our world and our St. Francis family are devastated.
John Quinones is with us from Tulsa tonight. And John, this shooting obviously comes after Uvalde, Texas, after the Buffalo supermarket. And each one of these shootings, including this Tulsa shooting with AR-15 style rifles, this time authorities say it was purchased just hours before the attack.
That's right, David. On the very same day that he went inside the building behind me on the second floor and started firing. Having said that, the system here worked very well. In the words of the Tulsa police chief today, our training led us to take immediate action without hesitation. That's exactly what officers do. Well, by doing that, they no doubt saved countless lives. David.
John Quinones, who went straight to the scene for us. John, thank you. Now to Uvalde, Texas, and tonight we are hearing for the first time here from that teacher's lawyer who police initially said left that school door open. Well, tonight what they say is the real story of what happened at that door and that teacher's call to 911. Marcus Moore from Uvalde again tonight.
As investigators study the moment a gunman appears to slip into Robb Elementary, tonight we are hearing for the first time from the attorney for the teacher who had just walked out that door when she went to retrieve food from a colleague outside.
And that door is supposed to always be locked. And so because she thought it was locked, and it always is locked, she propped a rock out to walk a couple feet to get the food.
Her attorney says they see the truck crash in front of them, the teacher going back inside and calling 911. He says when the teacher comes back out, she hears witnesses warn he's got a gun.
And she sees him throw a bag over the fence. And then he has the assault weapon, the gun, hung around his chest. He hops the fence and starts running at her. And she's on the phone and she says, he's got a gun, And so she immediately turns around and runs right back inside, kicks the rock out, slams the door.
The teacher, he says, tells 911 what's happening and runs into an empty classroom.
And she starts to hear pop, 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 just really fast.
Losing contact with 911, she takes cover in that classroom and puts her phone on silent.
Guy with a rifle.
And now there were more questions about what officers responding to the shooting knew in real time about the wounded victims.
Is there anybody inside of the building? Tyler is advising he is in the room full of victims at this moment.
At least two students inside that classroom called 911 for help. And we now learn fourth grade teacher Eva Mireles reportedly called her husband Ruben, a school district police officer who was outside but was prevented by other officers from going inside. According to the New York Times, Mireles told him she was dying. Her family says she tried to protect her students before she was shot and killed.
Her love was teaching those young kids and to see them graduate. Walk the stage and get the diploma, and that was an honor for her.
Today, families laying three more children to rest. 10-year-old Nevaeh Bravo, a cousin, saying she put a smile on everyone's face. 10-year-old Eliana Torres, a softball player who hoped to make the All-Star team. Her family said her smile could light up your soul, and she loved making people laugh. And Miranda Mathis, seen here receiving an award from her teachers the day of the shooting. Her family saying the 11-year-old had a huge, loving heart.
David, the attorney representing the teacher who propped open that door and later closed it, said she is traumatized and heartbroken by what happened to those kids, some of them still recovering at this hospital. He said that she heard the kids screaming and thought she was going to die herself. David.
Marcus Moore in San Antonio for us tonight. Marcus, thank you. And to Buffalo tonight, and the man accused of that supermarket mass murder has now pleaded not guilty to 25 counts, including domestic terrorism motivated by hate. Peyton Gendron is the first defendant to be charged under that relatively new state statute. If convicted, he faces life without parole. Gendron is also facing murder and weapons charges. Authorities say he drove to Buffalo intending to kill as many black people as possible. All 10 who died were, in fact, black. We turn to other news tonight and to the severe weather threat we're watching at this hour across much of the East. In fact, Richmond, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, New York, all in the path of potentially damaging winds, hail, and flooding. That same system producing this hailstorm in Andrews County, Texas. And tonight there's another major weather headline as well. The Tropical Storm Watch just issued for Florida. Tropical Storm Alex likely to form now within the next 24 hours. So let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano with us again tonight. He's tracking it all for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. Lots going on. We'll start with the severe storms. We had a bunch roll through the New York area, but most of the action is down to the south in New Jersey, across D.C., in through Virginia. Trees down all over the place there. Still a severe thunderstorm watch up for the next several hours. You see those intense storms going through. Floridians, though, all eyes in the Yucatan Channel. What could be Alex is getting more organized, and the National Weather Service has put out a tropical storm watch for nearly the entire southern half of Florida. We do expect it to move pretty quickly, but anticipate it becoming a tropical storm, making landfall on Saturday. But named or not, it's going to bring a lot of rain to all of South Florida. Look at this. In a short period of time, too, maybe upward of a foot of rain, both to Fort Myers, to Naples, and over towards Miami-Dade. That will cause some flash flooding. And if it strengthens more than we anticipate, all of South Florida will get hit even harder. David?
The tropical season now here. Rob Marciano back with us tonight. Thanks, Rob. We're to turn now to the war in Ukraine, and tonight members of the U.S. military are now training Ukrainians at an undisclosed location on how to use those rocket systems that now have been sent to Ukraine. What President Zelensky is now saying about how much of Ukraine the Russians now control. And tonight, here the moment, Robin Roberts with Ukraine's First Lady when air raid sirens go off. Our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, in Kyiv again tonight.
Tonight, the U.S. military has begun training Ukrainian troops on an advanced multiple rocket system. A senior defense official confirming it's taking place at an undisclosed location outside the country. It comes as fighting rages in eastern Ukraine. President Zelensky saying the Russians now control one-fifth of the country.
Madam Ambassador.
In an exclusive interview with ABC News, the new U.S. ambassador, Bridget Brink, acknowledges the fighting is fierce, but not Tibet against the Ukrainians.
President Zelensky said today that Russia now occupies 20% of Ukrainian territory. Do you believe it's possible to take all that territory back?
I think many people wouldn't have believed that it was possible for Ukraine, President Zelensky, and his military to push Russia out of Kyiv.
But the indiscriminate bombing by Russia hasn't stopped. In Kharkiv, yet another school being used as a shelter was shelled, killing one woman. The ever-present dangers of the war clear in an exclusive interview done by Robin Roberts with Ukraine's First Lady, Olena Zelenska, an interview interrupted by an air raid warning in Kyiv.
That's an air sign right now.
Excuse me, we have to...
Please.
After taking shelter, the interview resuming 30 minutes later. Zelenska saying Ukrainians truly appreciate American support, but fear a never-ending war if the U.S. becomes complacent about it.
Do you have a message for the American people?
Окрім великих слів подяки, мені дуже хочеться, щоб весь світ і американці також не звикали до цієї війни. Так, вона далеко, і вона вже довго триває, і до цього можна звикнути, від цього можна втомитися, але, будь ласка, не звикайте.
David, that was also the sentiment of the new U.S. ambassador. The need to keep the American people engaged in Ukraine, but also a commitment by the Biden administration to stick by the country, however long this takes. David?
All right, Ian Pannell in Kyiv. Ian, our thanks to you and, of course, to Robin Roberts again tonight. Back here at home into news on the economy and gas prices tonight, the White House welcoming a decision by OPEC and its partner nations to speed up oil production. OPEC promising to increase its oil supply by 50% more in July and August, adding 648,000 barrels a day. Analysts say the increase won't solve the gas price crisis. It'll help a bit. They are hailing it, though, as a diplomatic breakthrough that could lead to future cooperation. And we turn to London tonight, where they are celebrating Queen Elizabeth and her 70-year reign, the world celebrating the Queen, too. From the moment the 96-year-old Queen emerged on that balcony today, waving to the crowds, to when members of the royal family joined her, her great-grandson, Louis, stealing the show for a time, Amy Robach from London tonight.
Tonight, Britain and the world celebrating the remarkable 70-year reign of Queen Elizabeth. The 96-year-old monarch appearing before a crowd of thousands on the balcony of Buckingham Palace with her three heirs. But it was Prince Louis stealing the show, wearing the same sailor suit his father wore 37 years ago. The little prince overwhelmed by the planes. The queen and her great-grandson sharing a moment. Today marking the beginning of Platinum Jubilee celebrations across the United Kingdom. It was a day of pomp and circumstance like only the royals can do. Horse-drawn carriages and a military parade trooping the color. Prince Charles and Prince William on horseback. Duchess Kate, Camilla, and the Cambridge children waving to the crowd. Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan there too. Low-key celebrating his beloved grandmother with these sweet moments, playing with some of the Queen's young great-grandchildren. All to honor Elizabeth, now the world's longest reigning monarch, a constant presence during a changing world for more than seven decades now. Queen Elizabeth has been a witness to history. From that moment in South Africa when she vowed her life to the Commonwealth at just 21 years old.
I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and to the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong.
To her coronation, not 5 years later.
And so, this day of days most memorable comes to an end. And with it begins a new era, the new Elizabethan age, an age in which the love and faith and hope of all the Commonwealth rest on the slim shoulders of the beautiful Queen who has just been crowned. Long may she reign.
And as she surpassed Queen Victoria's record 63 years on the throne, a moment of reflection.
Inevitably, a long life can pass by many milestones. My own is no exception.
As today, a grateful kingdom saluted Her Majesty.
And Amy Robach joining us tonight from Buckingham Palace. She's been anchoring our coverage of the Jubilee all day long. And Amy, I was looking behind you there, the stage that's set up. This is a celebration that's going to get even bigger.
It certainly is, David. And I have to say, we were even kind of taken aback by the beautiful tapestry, the images of Queen Elizabeth over the years just displayed right there on Buckingham Palace. And just in front of that display is, yes, those stages where we are going to see some blockbuster performances from Elton John to Diana Ross. It's called the Platinum Party at the Palace. And everyone is looking forward to more celebrations throughout the weekend.
Yeah, extraordinary concerts ahead. But in the meantime, today it was the Queen and her great-grandson stealing the show.
Oh, Prince Louis stole the show. It was so sweet to see him react to the sights and the sounds of that royal display over the air, those flyovers that were so remarkable, and to see the interaction between great-grandmother and great-grandson. It was purely beautiful, and I have to say, everyone here and around the world is certainly hoping that we see much more of Queen Elizabeth as these celebrations continue throughout the weekend, David.
We're hoping too, Amy. Thanks for being there for us. And later right here, what the Queen did late today with the touch of her hand, launching a spectacular light show, and we'll have that for you just ahead. Also ahead, news on the baby formula shortage coming in tonight, and the iconic restaurant chain, once the largest in America, closing its last location tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, the baby formula shortage is worsening. 10 states now have an out-of-stock rate of at least 90%. U.S. manufacturers are increasing production. The White House also says it has commitments now to import more than 94 million bottles of formula. There is encouraging news on a COVID vaccine for children under 5 tonight. The White House now says it expects shots to roll out as soon as June 21st, just a couple of weeks, if the FDA and CDC approvals go as expected. To the index of other news, American tennis star Coco Gauff advancing to the French Open finals at 18. She's the youngest American to reach the women's final since 1999. By the way, she graduated from high school just 3 weeks ago. NBA superstar LeBron James is America's newest billionaire tonight. Forbes reporting at age 37, LeBron is now the first active NBA player with a net worth of $1 billion. And we've learned tonight that the last Howard Johnson restaurant in the U.S. is closed, located in Lake George, New York. Once the largest restaurant chain in the country and a staple of the family road trip, about 300 hotels still remain. A final image tonight of the Queen. Marking 70 years on the throne, late today, the Queen, with the touch of her hand, setting off a chain of lights. Ceremonial beacons, more than 3,000 so-called beacons, being lit tonight across the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth. Once used as a communication tool, beacons, of course, are now used to celebrate royal milestones, and this is certainly one of them. The celebrations continue through the weekend. Amy, TJ, our entire team again tomorrow morning on GMA and again right here on World News. I'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.